Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, we're back live on the YouTube, so thanks for your patience on that. Shout out to all the people involved helping make that happen. So we're back there. But without further ado, it's 10:30 on a Wednesday. That means we are joined by our good buddy Tyson Alger of the I-5 Corridor. Lookout Eugene Springfield. Tyson, good morning. How was your weekend?
I had a pretty great time in Iowa, guys. I mean, it was the first time coming from the West Coast that I've ever experienced cold weather or rain, or actually that's what it kind of seemed like all the Iowa fans were saying when it dropped around 40 degrees and the rain started pouring and they're like, oh, this is Iowa weather. I was like, guys, this is kind of what we do out in Portland too. Like when did we become so temperate, boys?
Well, I had a conversation with Dusty Hare about that, and I was kind of like, what was the experience like from a weather standpoint? Now he's down on the sideline. I don't know if you're cushy in a box or something, but he's down on the sideline. And he said Wisconsin was way worse than Iowa City.
Yeah, we were pretty cushy for this one, I'm not going to lie. Like, it's one of the first times I've come into a press box and seen, like, the closed windows for the box and been like, oh, thank you. And then they had the meal was served, like, throughout the entire game. It was lovely. I almost put my feet up, but then you got to remember that you do run into, you know, the people like Dusty who had the weather, the storm, and you have to pretend like we went through it too. You know, poor guy, but yeah, no, it was no wetter than the Wisconsin game. It might have been a little bit colder, but it wasn't that bad.
So let's dive into this game. And we'll start with kind of the hoopla before kick even happened. All of a sudden, you know, I am not a Twitter guy, but even I was aware of the Kenyon Sadiq right tackle and DeCorian Moore injuries before the game. What was it like for the team, any kind of fans you might have run in, your perspective? Did it feel like they kind of knew this was going to happen and they were prepared, or was this kind of a shock to them as well that they weren't ready to go?
Yeah, it was a weird day on Friday, I'm not going to lie, because that was my travel day. And I also booked my stuff late, so I had a long travel day. And it wasn't until I was rolling back to my hotel and finally got my phone fired back up that I had about 8 missed net messages and saw all the tweets of it seemed like half the roster was going to be out. And you know, you get to the game on Saturday and the Ducks kind of ran a little bit of a pump fake by, they still had Sadiq and Harkey and Devin Jackson in uniform. They did announce before the game that DeCorian Moore was out. I think that was the one that obviously drew kind of the biggest amount of interest and thus the one that kind of quasi turned out to be true, because it seemed like some of the initial rumors on Friday were, oh, he's going to be lost for the season. On Saturday, Lanning said he thinks he's going to be okay. I don't know what that means, timetable for this week or going into USC or Washington, but it did kind of seem like it was setting up in Iowa's favor in that regard, just because you're down to going into the game 5 scholarship wide receivers, and then Gary Bryant Jr. gets injured in the second quarter, and then you're down to 4, and you're kind of looking around the field, and it's like, okay, you know, usually in this scenario you would expect a Kenyon Sadiq to make a big play. Well, Kenyon's out too, and so considering all that, like I was really impressed with like kind of just the composure and the way that the Ducks were able to kind of address this game. You know, we've talked about how Dante, in games where things aren't ideal, has kind of struggled at times. And obviously he wasn't perfect in this game, but it was certainly enough in that final drive to put together one of the best throws I think I've ever seen the Oregon quarterback make on that Malik Benson completion.
Dyson, I don't know if you caught the beginning of the show. I walked into a glass door at full speed and damn near concussed myself before we started the show. And that's what this game felt like. There was a lot of just running into things the entire game. But going into this, we kind of wanted to see what the identity of Oregon was. If Iowa could pull them into deep water, how would Oregon respond? And do you feel like that the identity of this Oregon team is run ball, defense, traditional Big Ten style, like they have made the full pivot into that and that should be their identity? Or do you think that there's something different about this team still?
You know, what I like about this team is it can kind of morph into what it needs to be. I mean, this was a game where it wasn't ideal to be passing the football, and they had that against Wisconsin, and it looks like they might have that coming up on Friday too against Minnesota. And this is developed into one of the better rushing attacks in the country. I mean, that was the whole thing that Iowa prided itself on, right? Is we win the trenches, we're going to pound the football, we're going to make you not enjoy playing us for four quarters. And that's kind of what the Ducks did to them. The 261 yards, I believe, are the most they've allowed since 2022. It's the most yards per carry they've allowed since 2014. The Ducks were dominant in that phase of the game. And I think it was at the start of it, they were kind of trying things out to see like what they could get away with. I think they passed twice on that first drive, and you saw Noah Whittington drop a pass. And I think right around then the Ducks go like, okay, well, let's see what we can do on the ground. And the ground was incredibly effective. And so I think more so than the passing game, that's what the Ducks can really hang their hats on. I mean, this has been 2-3-4 weeks in a row where the running game has been really dominant. But again, I go back to that fourth quarter drive. They still have a pretty darn good quarterback. And yeah, I know they're pretty depleted in receivers right now, but I do like that this offense still can go and rely on the passing game to make a play or two in a game where it's pretty apparent that the running game has been what's more effective.
He's Tyson Alger, the I-5 corridor lookout, Eugene, Springfield. I want to switch over to the defense, and I got to be careful how I ask this question because I've been very impressed with Oregon's defense. I think it's been, especially that D-line, has been kind of the most stable part of this team throughout this season. So I got to make sure this doesn't come across as a negative, but against Penn State, against Indiana, and against Iowa, they're giving up more points in the fourth quarter than they had the first three quarters.
Yeah.
Do you line that up to attrition? Do you line that up to kind of the offense also kind of struggling in those three games? Because I'm concerned in some of these bigger games coming up, say the college football playoff is in their future, that could be a source of weakness in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, it's definitely such a kind of a Jekyll and Hyde thing, because in the first three quarters of the game, Oregon's defense has been really good.
Dominant.
And statistically, they still hold up in terms of, you know, national rankings and total defensive yardage and all that. But yeah, it has kind of seemed like in the fourth quarter, especially in drives where you're like, okay, like we need to make a stop here. It seems like teams have a tendency of going like 98 yards down the field and scoring. I mean, I think that this was kind of a combination of a few things. I mean, like this was such a tough game, and like the defensive guys were hurting by the end of it. I asked Bryce Betcher after the game, like, well, what does it feel like trying to tackle Mark Gronowski for four straight quarters? And he's like, I'm not going to lie, guys, like I'm hurting right now. Like it's a bear trying to wrestle that 235 pound quarterback down to the turf. But it's just, you know, they're pretty good at getting guys to other teams to third down, but then it just seems like some of the big play conversion rates for the other team's offenses in key scenarios is pretty concerning. And so, you know, I would like to be able to judge that in a game where Oregon's offense is humming in the second half and they're not just constantly giving the ball away and putting the defense in those pressure scenarios. But that is kind of like the one big kind of concern for this team is we've seen the offense now make plays in drives where they've absolutely needed to, but we kind of need to see the defense do that as well, especially as you're going to be facing some of these pretty higher potent offenses in USC and Washington here in the coming weeks.
Tyson, it's a stupid question, but it's one that we've kind of gone back and forth. Is this the best win of the season for the Ducks?
Probably. I mean, like, in retrospect, probably. Like, I still, like, I'm still having to, like, battle between what my eyes saw at Penn State and what's happened since then, because I still think that that was a really good Penn State football team, and I thought that was a great game of football, and I loved the way that Oregon clutched up in there. And so, like, I still want to say that was the best win of the season, but it's kind of hard to do that when the coach who game planned against you is golfing currently. So I think that was probably the best one. I mean, just considering it seemed like a lot of the country was trending towards Iowa in that game, and it was kind of a prove it game for the Ducks. You know, this isn't one that come playoff time is going to be, you know, held on an altar and said, like, oh, look at this massive quality win the Ducks had against Iowa. But it was one of those ones where I think people thought they might not have won, and they proved them wrong. And so I think that was a really quality victory for them.
He's Tyson Alger, the I-5 Corridor Lookout, Eugene, Springfield. We'll put a pause on this, take a quick break, and bring you back. We'll start looking ahead at Minnesota, what a Friday night game means under the lights, and maybe we'll dance a little college football playoff predictions as well. We'll do that next. Stick with us. Tyson Alger joins us, 105.1 The Fan. Continue our conversation here with Tyson Alger, the I-5 Corridor Lookout, Eugene Springfield, joins us every single Wednesday to chat Ducks during the Duck season. We're happy to have him, and we'll continue on this. Look, Friday night game against Minnesota. You can catch all that action right here on the home of the Ducks, 105.1 The Fan Sports Network. I don't know. Where do we start on this? A Friday night game. Are they really that weird, or is this one of those stupid questions we ask interviewers to pretend like it's an edge that somebody's got?
I think it's probably more weird for fans than anybody else, or even us media members. Like, what time do I hit the road Friday, guys? Like traffic's already bad enough on Fridays around here. Like, is this a 10 a.m. departure?
Andy Dirt Johnson's leaving at 10 a.m.
You know what? As I've always followed the advice of, you know, what would Dirt do? So,
and that's gotten you real far in life. Real far in life.
It's gotten me right on this radio show. I think, you know, probably the only big issue for the Ducks here is just recovery from injury. You know, we don't quite know where Gary Bryant Jr.'s at. I wouldn't be surprised if they continue to hold DeCorian out for this game. Yeah, short week. Minnesota's coming off a bye, so they've obviously had some time to prepare for this one. But, you know, I think it's a lot better than some of those Thursday ones that we had, what was that, probably about a decade or so ago. Like, I think Friday's manageable at the very least.
I don't want to dive too deep into this game, but what problems in Minnesota are they going to present? Because defensively, they're pretty stout. They're a top 30 unit by basically every metric. Offensively, they're not. So is this – they can't drag you really into the water like Iowa can, but if you're Oregon, you have to at least look at that Iowa game and go, if we do get into this, we're going to be fine, right?
Yeah, I think so. You know, Minnesota's not bad. They're 6-3, but guess where all three of those losses have come? They've come away from Minnesota. Mm-hmm. So, and by the way, I didn't mean to slip into like a Minnesota there. Like, I'm getting festive for the game. Okay.
Don't you know?
You know, they're a pretty one dimensional offense. They pass the ball pretty well. They're not a great rushing team. And so I think that this is a game that actually matches up pretty well for the Ducks. Oregon's a very good pass defense. It's not setting up for weather for being a great passing game either. And the Gophers just aren't that good at rushing the ball. I think that this is one of those games where if Oregon decides that, hey, we want to just kind of do the bully ball and establish ourselves on the ground. Yeah, Minnesota's not that bad against the run defensively, but they're not Iowa. I think that this is just a game where Oregon is better kind of in both facets of how you want to win it. And I just don't think Minnesota has enough firepower to keep up with the Ducks in this one.
Yeah, I'm curious how behind the scenes Lanning might approach this. Because I think one thing that's been very fortunate for the Ducks is throughout the season is they've run into a lot of different teams that they've kind of had to show different identities, as we love to talk about on this show. If they've got a team that can't really run the ball well, but is kind of a throwing, how much defense are you looking at as a setup for the USC game? Because USC is going to throw the football. And if you're playing a team that's one-dimensional but can throw the ball a little bit. How much are you just, let's play this game, get out of here, or can we test some things that we might want to run against the pass happy team in 2 weeks?
Yeah, I mean, like, there might be some trial and error there, too. And I think, again, a lot of it will depend on what sort of weather we actually get on Friday. But, I think this will be a nice kind of, like, gradual increase into facing USC next week. Because if you look back at kind of the games Oregon's defense has had to play the last couple weeks, they played against Iowa, who doesn't pass the football well. They played against Wisconsin, who doesn't pass the football well. I think this will be kind of a nice warm-up lap before facing two very good offensive teams the next couple weeks, because the Ducks just haven't seen those the last 2 weeks of the season.
Not to put the cart before the horse, Harris and I were talking about this leading into the conversation with you about college football playoff and where Oregon is at right now, the 8-9 matchup with Notre Dame. I'm of the belief that even if Oregon loses to USC and USC and Oregon end up finishing both 10-2, Indiana, Ohio State, one of those is going to have a one loss. Those four teams would make it in. Do you look at Oregon that they have to win out to make the college football playoff, or can they take one more loss and be in there?
I don't know. and I know that's not the answer that you guys want from us, but you know, the committee's kind of shown that it doesn't respect Oregon in the same way that it respects the other one-loss teams right now. And then there are just a bunch of other two-loss teams out there. But again, those two-loss teams are going to start accumulating losses as well here as we go through the final 2-3 weeks of the season. And you know, if it comes down to kind of like a bubble scenario, we'll have to see. You know, we haven't had the committee really have to like make a decision on a big brand name Big Ten team like that yet, and so I think that the Ducks are attractive enough if you want to go from if they're considering eyeballs and notoriety of the teams they want in there. But, you know, I think it would be a lot easier if they just won these next two games and they didn't have to worry about it, because, you know, USC and Washington, yeah, they're Big Ten teams and they were decent Pac-12 teams during their day, but like they haven't been kind of relevant in this in the last year or two, and so I don't know how much extra credit the Ducks are going to be getting with these wins either. So I think it hurts way more when they lose.
He's Tyson Alger, the I-5 Corridor. Look out, Eugene Springfield. We'll finish up with this. I'm not the biggest. I don't love trying to discuss why the committee makes the decisions they make, because I think half these games they're not even watching. And I'm with you. I don't think they gave Oregon enough respect. But I live in a world in my brain, so I try to just have kind of fun with some of these matchups. Since the playoff situation is going to change week after week after week, just indulge me a little bit. I do believe Oregon wins out. And I do believe the committee will continue to view them the same way they do now, despite a win against Iowa, which would be a win against a USC team that's ranked and a UW team that's a fringe-ranked team. I think this collision course with Notre Dame is an absolute fact, and that is going to happen. Can we live in a fun world right now? How wild would the Golden Domers coming to Autzen be for a playoff game?
Like the Ducks would have to go mirrored helmets too, right? Like just
You'd have to.
Like the flashiest. That would be so fun, wouldn't it? Like I know if you're a coach, you probably want a top seed and to get that bye, even though what happened last year with the byes, but just the idea of before Christmas hosting a home playoff game and having that type of brand of a team coming into Autzen and what would be probably an excellent game of football. Like I wouldn't be upset about that, guys. Like I wouldn't mind writing about that one if I had to. So.
Oh, shucks. Yeah. Oh, dang it. I know I texted Dirt last night about that, and he said things that I can't say on the radio in his excitement about that potential matchup. Go ahead and pump your brand, amigo. What you writing this week?
Let's see here. We're writing just a lot of football this week, guys. Kind of the short week has us scrambling a bit. So we have our game preview coming out tomorrow. We'll be at Autzen on Friday. And then next week I have a little story where I talked to Oregon backup quarterback Brock Thomas about a superstar little league team that he was on back in the day that had like six kids end up going D1. So, just a little remember when. So.
Great. Well, he's Tyson Alger, the I-5 Corridor. Look out, Eugene Springfield. Go check out his work on any platform that you can find him on. We appreciate you. As always, my friend, enjoy the game on Friday and have a nice long weekend.
Hey, thanks a lot, boys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Tyson.
Yep, that is Tyson Aldridge. He joins us every single Wednesday at 10:30 for a couple seggies as we put a bow on Oregon's win against Iowa.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.